Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Benson, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true.
It's bad, you know. When you have those guns, and they try to slip out on you. I had one like that.
That was energetic. So did you have a nice weekend?
What is today? Wednesday? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a pretty nice weekend. It was quiet.
Yeah. Or as my daughter said today, she goes, today's my Thursday. And it's my Tuesday. I was like, what are you talking about? She said, well, I was sick on Monday, so I didn't have school, right? So yesterday was my first day of school. Today, my second day. That's Tuesday. No school on Friday, which means today is my second to last day of school, which means it's my Thursday. So today is both my Tuesday and my Thursday. And all I could think about was, I'm my own grandpa.
Well, it works for her.
You remember that song, right?
A little bit. Now that I think about it, though, I mean, the reason why my weekend was quiet was because I was sick and I hurt my back, so I spent the majority of it laying on the couch.
I didn't know you were sick.
Well, I got sick like the day after, well, on my Thursday last week. And like this weird cold that kept coming and going, you know. And then I went over to my parents' house and painted their ceiling in like an hour and a half and forgot I wasn't 21. Sunday was rough.
Dude, speaking of your parents... I mean, you knew your mom was funny,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you knew that.
Yeah.
And I've heard your mom say some funny things, right? Mm-hmm. And I know most of your family's funny. I mean, some of your brothers are a little out there, but they're still funny, right?
Yeah.
Your mom on Facebook, she's going to be you watch, man. This time next year, we'll be like talking about how she became an internet star because she'll have her own fan club.
Well,
because like every single thing she puts out there is funny.
Yeah, that's because my dad falls asleep at 7:30 at night, so she's got nothing to do. Puts it on Facebook.
She started getting into the family tree, and she, you know, because we found out that, like, okay, everybody, momentous occasion, Paul's mom's on Facebook now.
Yes, these are the end times.
I thought the world stopped spinning when my mom got on Facebook a year and a half ago. And now Paul's mom's on Facebook. Ooh, Paul. And my very first interaction, like she did that thing that a lot of people used to do, which is you think you're sending somebody, or maybe not. Maybe she knew exactly what she was doing. But my impression was that she thought she was sending your sister a private message.
Yes.
And she actually posted a thing to her wall, right? People used to do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was funny. Like, I would see, like, a husband would, or a wife would post to a husband's wall.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, can you pick up milk on your way home?
Right.
And I'd put, like, yeah, I'll pick it up. I'll bring it over. You know, whatever.
Right.
Yes, dear. So your mom did that. And, of course, I felt like she meant to, because she's new to Facebook.
Yeah.
I thought maybe she thought she was sending a private message. Maybe not. Maybe she's, you know, maybe she knows exactly what she's doing. But it was like, I'm lonely and dad's asleep and I'm lonely. Nobody ever calls. And why don't you eat? You don't eat enough. You know, nobody ever calls me. When you do come, you don't stay long enough. Something like that.
It was funny because I ran into my sister at the grocery store. And she's like, suddenly, everyone's hijacking my wall with comments.
including my cousin, June, who I didn't realize knew your mom.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's my cousin June doing posting on there?
She spent a lot of time in that old neighborhood because I was telling my mom, I'm like, you know, I never
what old neighborhood?
Well, where we used to live. Because
all right, go on.
Because like I remember I was telling my mom, I'm like, I never did put two and two together, but like if I was at Steve's house and he was having like a family cookout, there she was. If we were having a cookout at our house, there she was. I figured, well, maybe she's just a friend of the family. I never quite put that all together.
Well, that's one of those bizarre things, because that particular wing of the family, is it called a wing of the family? Branch of the family tree.
Tree, yes. Wing of the family
not,
chicken.
I mean, you know my cousin Gary, Ronnie, Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
All them were, you know, we saw them a lot. We'd spend the night at their house. They'd spend the night at our house. They'd come to every single cookout. We'd hang out. I never, you know, that branch of the family that June is part of, they never spent the night. We never spent the night there. They never spent the night here at my place. They would come to the cookouts, but then that stopped when I turned probably about 10 or 12. And that is just, that blows my mind that she used to be at your cookouts.
Yeah, on occasion I've seen her.
She could have walked across Schmidt's yard and visited us and had maybe a generic Al's brand Scott Ladd root beer. Remember Scott Ladd?
Oh yeah. when Al's wasn't so ridiculously expensive.
She could have had some Bonnie chips and a Scott Ladd root beer with us.
Man, I miss some Bonnie chips.
One time we got a thing of those Bonnie chips and opened it up. I pulled out a chip and there was a moth on the chip.
Oh.
Like a dead moth just sitting there. Like, well, that ain't right.
Anyway. I had bought a candy bar, like a Hershey bar one time, and opened it up, and there was like a little larva egg stuck in the chocolate, right? So I'm like, well, this is gross. So I got this little Tupperware container, and I sealed it up, and I called the 800 number on the chocolate bar to register a complaint about this weird larva on this chocolate bar. Well, this was back in the day when you could actually get a real person on an 800 number, and I talked to him, explained what it was, and or what had happened, and I read the number because they wanted to do quality control, you know. And he thanked me for my, you know, what my complaint or whatever, and I hung up the phone. And then, like about 3 or 4 days later, in the mail, I got an envelope packed with Hershey bar coupons, and I'm like, I ain't gonna eat these things. What am I gonna do with
these?
Why
would I do that?
So I was giving them away. Well, a little bit of time after that passed, and I opened up the lid on on the chocolate bar to get rid of it, and the moth flew out. So it had apparently gone through its metamorphosis. Probably had diabetes from the chocolate.
Yeah, I always wondered about that. If you buy our chocolate bar, and it is so gross you cannot possibly eat it, just give us a call. We'll give you another free chocolate bar. Like, why would I want that? Send me a coupon for a one of your competitors' chocolate bars. I'll eat that. You know what's worse than finding a worm in your chocolate bar?
No, what's worse than finding a worm in your chocolate bar?
Finding a half a worm.
He'll be here all night, ladies and gentlemen.
So anyway, your mom was cracking me up because I was like, I didn't know you guys knew each other. Did you know she's my cousin? She's like, yeah, I mean, it was like second cousin, three times removed by marriage on a tree, on a branch that was pruned by a pole saw with a chain, you know, chainsaw with a broken chain. And she's going on. I'm like, that's funny. So I posted the gift. Not a gift.
It's a gif.
Gif.
You pronounce the gif. You pronounce the G a J, yes.
I will now. So I posted the gif and with the black dude saying, hey, cousin. She's like, I don't think the family tree went that far.
Yeah. She was rather proud of herself.
Your mom's is funny.
That comment.
It was hilarious. So my weekend, thanks for telling me about your weekend. I'm sure you would have gotten around to asking me about mine.
Yes, that was on the tip of my tongue.
We had the Dad's Club regalia dinner. which is the dinner that we auction off every year.
Mm-hmm.
This year it pulled in $30,000.
Is it that time of year already?
At the school auction. Yeah. Well, it's all connected, see?
Oh.
So,
because it seems like just a couple months ago you were talking about the Casino Royale
yes.
dinner.
I was. And it was, okay, so here's how it's all connected. And I'm not even sure where to start because it's all so connected. Let's say that it starts with the Casino Royale dinner. Every year is a different theme. One year it was Havana Nights. Another year it was, there was a James Bond. Oh, that was this year. All right. So Casino Royale is the school auction. The Dad's Club auctions off this dinner and it fetched $30,000. That was like in March. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then in the summertime, the Dad's Club has a fundraiser to raise the money to actually pay for the food and the entertainment and, you know, the drinks and to actually put the dinner, like to actually produce the dinner that somebody just paid for, right? That is the rendezvous where we brew the beer and like 6 weeks before the rendezvous, we brew beer and we have the rendezvous, we serve the beer we brewed, we sell tickets to this thing that gets us the money we need to actually do the dinner at the person's house or wherever they want to have it. And that's what we did this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually produced the dinner and it was at this dude used to be the CEO of Angie's List.
Mm.
And so he lives in, he lives on a big lot with a huge house and pool in the back. And so we set everything up back there and I took my PA stuff and my microphones and keyboard. And the kids came from the school and put on a show and I was in charge of the booze, surprise. And got that all set up and then somebody else did the one of the dads who's like pretty much a chef, even though I call him chef every time I see him. I'm like, hey, chef, children. but he's not black is the only problem with that. But anyway, so we did that this weekend, and it was fun. And people are asking me how it went, and I say, yeah, it went pretty well. I figure any party that gets shut down by the cops is a success.
It's always...
Because there was a lot...
It ain't a party until the cops show up.
That's right. Yep. So, yeah. So the cops showed up. They were cool. They were like, you're supposed to have till 11. But, it's 10:45. We're getting a lot of calls. And the band is pretty loud. So why don't you guys just go ahead and shut it down? They're like, all right, we'll shut it down. Whatever. And they're like, thank you. so that was fun.
Change the channel, Marge.
So... on Friday, we're doing some setup stuff. The thing was actually on Saturday, but on Friday, we're doing some setup. Mm-hmm. And, people work on Friday, and people are showing up kind of after work. A few people in their, like, khakis and dress shirt. Of course, I went home and changed. So I'm in my cargo shorts and T-shirt or whatever. But a couple of dads did the ultimate power move. I just think this is a great power move. They wore their scrubs to the thing. And like they're helping set up and stuff. And they're wearing their scrubs. They got the tennis shoes and the scrubs on. Or the one that a lot of the people that wear scrubs is the Crocs, right?
Oh God.
So you got the Crocs with the scrubs. Mm-hmm. And some of them have a T-shirt underneath the scrubs, mm-hmm. but others are like the dudes with the hairy chest.
Oh, yeah.
The scrubs kind of come down.
Yeah.
See the hairy chest? And
that's sanitary.
Like standing next to another dad, and I was like, dude, that's a power move right there. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, the scrubs. I mean, check out Ryan with his scrubs. He's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, do you know how long it takes to change at work? And does he put on scrubs in the morning and wear them to work? I doubt it. He could have changed at work, or he could have brought changed clothes, but of course he didn't, because he wants us to know that he's a doctor, right? So he might not even be a doctor. Maybe he's a nurse. I mean, a male nurse. It's a funny thing about nurses. If you're a nurse and you happen to be a man, you can't just say I'm a nurse. You have to say I'm a male nurse.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. It's one of those weird things. But so he wears the scrubs. So he's wearing the scrubs. And I was like, you know what I would do if I worked in a hospital setting, especially if I was a doctor? I'd make sure I wore the scrubs with the blood stains on. And every time somebody said, hey, man, how's it going? I'd just shake my head and I'd go, wish I could save them all, man. Wish I could save them all. Anyway, do you need me to move that box over here? Everybody, are we setting this? So you need me to unfold that table right there?
Yeah. Well, no, it totally is.
Then I found out one of the dudes is a dentist. I'm like, are you kidding me? You wore your first of all, dentist wearing scrubs. Now my father-in-law is a dentist,
mm-hmm.
and he always wore scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
He's retired now. Recently retired, like a few weeks ago retired. But he always wore scrubs. So nothing against him, but I don't get it. Like, what are you wearing scrubs for if you're a dentist? What do you expect? Like, you're gonna poke the gum and like blood's gonna come squirting out. You're like, oh, I got blood all over my lab coat.
Well, that's like wearing scrubs if you work like in billing. What is the deal with that? But they make you wear scrubs if you work like in billing or something like that. It's like, yeah. I guess it's their uniform.
No, they don't make them. They just like doing that. Like, oh yeah, I'm wearing scrubs. Wish we could save them all. Can I have a stethoscope to hang around my neck?
No, it's a total power move, dude, because when I was a janitor, I used to wear my scrubs back and forth to work. And it was like, you know, you go into the gas station, you know, to get your pop or whatever on the way to work, and it's...
People are going, thank you for your service. You're like, yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, man, I wish I could mop them all.
Wish we could save them all. The yeah. Wish I could mop all the floors.
Well,
I don't know. If I... All the doctors wear the stethoscope, too. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do. I'd show up. I'd have the blood stains on my shirt. And I'd have the stethoscope around my neck. I might even have that weird headband with the big reflector on the top.
I don't feel like the doctor from Hee Haw.
Hey, Doc. My luck, it'd be like a Larry David moment, and somebody would have cardiac arrest. They'd be like, Steve, get over here. Come over here, doctor. It's like, oh.
Yeah, like George Costanza when he reached into the whale and pulled the golf ball out that Kramer shot it.
They'd be like, I would have to make something up on the spot. I'd be like, I'm a dermatologist. I don't know what to do. Does he have a pimple that needs to be popped?
Let me call somebody. Hang on. I'll dial my special number here. 911. Yes,
I'd have
all right,
my
they're
pager
on way.
Hanging off the side.
Right. Well, Andy, you know, D, good friend of the show, he used to work for a company whose initials were ESM, and they had company hats. And he would go into Family Express on the way to work, and like the cashier wouldn't charge him for like his donut and his pop. And then one day he figured out, he's like, wait a minute, this hat, he's like, she sees ESM and reads EMS, so she wasn't. It's like, you didn't look out and go, wait, there's
one of them hats.
There's no ambulance parked in the parking lot. I
got to see if that works. You know what? This would be a great social experiment. Because anybody can get scrubs. You probably don't want to go out and buy a cop uniform.
No, unless you're a stripper.
But anybody can go out and get some scrubs and a hat that says like EMS or something on it, right? It'd be a great social experiment to see how you're treated differently.
Right.
So Constance is in the American Society for Interior Designers, and she's like the president-elect and all that stuff. So she's on the board for their events and things. And one of the things they do is this local polo club has polo like every Friday and Saturday night, like throughout the late summer and fall. And you can sponsor. It's sort of like sponsorship. What you do is you help them put the match on. They have a polo match, and you know, you get part of the proceeds. So you help them do it. You bring your people with you. You volunteer, and you can make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So her chapter did that, but through doing that, she got to know the people, and one of the co-sponsors was the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, mounted police, like so the horse police dudes, and they gave her a hat because she got to know them. Like, here, have one of the hats, and it on the front, you know, it's a black hat with yellow lettering. Says IMPD Mounted Patrol on the hat. And so she loves to wear this hat. And then she happens to have a black polo shirt that she wears sometimes, and some black jeans that she wears. And one day, like, I look at her and I'm like, dude, you could totally be a cop. Like, do you notice people treating you differently when you walk around town? She's like, yeah, now that you mention it, more people than usual are asking me for directions and stuff like that. Like, they totally think you're a cop. Which is awesome.
And technically what she's doing isn't illegal, because she's just walking around in the hat they gave her. And not even remotely a uniform.
Right?
So
that fits in with my, if you're going to an event where you know the parking is FUBAR, and getting out is going to take forever.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself a little orange vest, which you can buy at any hardware store, your local Lowe's, your big box home improvement store. You can buy a vest, safety vest. Maybe get yourself one of them hats with some initials on it. Who cares what the initials are?
It's like KFC.
Nobody gives a shit. Yeah, it doesn't matter, right? And you just go out there and you just start waving your arms and stuff. You make sure your car gets out, and when your car gets there, you just get in, drive off. What's wrong with that?
Nothing, man. I think that's a plan.
All right. So, shout out to Paul Volstorf, man. Wear your scrubs every chance you get. Get yourself a stethoscope to hang around your neck, or I don't know, blood pressure. Why a stethoscope? Why did they pick? It's like, really? There aren't enough stethoscopes around. You got to carry your own, you know? Not like they don't have thermometers and like blood. It's like a tool belt. Like, they don't have a tool belt with all their different implements.
Well, yeah, but with a stethoscope, though, I mean, if somebody handed you some earplugs and said, here, these are mine, but you can wear them, would you put them in your ear?
Well, I had not thought of that. That's a good point. That's a good point. The stethoscope is the only tool that you have to insert into your own body.
That's
to use. So I guess everybody should have their own stethoscope, or at least some ear covers to, you know. I guess it's just easier for everybody to have their own stethoscope.
Well, yeah, and it's like a warm toilet seat. You know, if you put those things in your ears and they're warm, you're going to be like, ugh. You know, it's like you sit on a warm toilet seat. You're like, oh, you're trying to think who sat down before you, but then you also don't want to find out. You're like, oh, God, because if it's like some gross person.
They're warm and a little bit wet. Like, what?
There's like a little bit of hair on it, you know?
A little bit of hair. They're wet, a little bit of hair. You smell them, they smell like crap. What? I have gone into bathrooms, like, I'm about to crap my pants, okay? I'm getting the chills.
The chills.
Cramps that almost double you over.
You're prairie dogging.
I'm prairie dogging. I'm starting to do the math, like, how much did these underwear cost? Will I ruin my pants, too? And I did buy these pants, like, 3 years ago.
And then you ask yourself, like, will I be able to walk out of here with my head held high knowing I shit my pants? And how far is home?
Well, it's like, how how long have I been at this job? You know, is it time to move on anyway? Do I really like the people I work with?
Will they understand?
How far away is home? Do I have access to a trash bag that I can put on the seat so I don't get crap on the seat? Yeah, I'm doing all this math. And I know people are going, especially the women that listen, are going, how do you think about all that? Like, are you seriously thinking about all that? Look, a man's brain becomes a supercomputer when he has to take a really bad crap, right? If you got to go... If you got to go big potty, like really bad, you can do like millions of calculations per second. Yeah. I think if NASA could harness what a man's brain can do when he's got to take a really serious crap, we'd already be on Jupiter, right? So anyway, so I walked into the bathroom the other day, and I was at that moment. Right, I'm like seriously doing all these calculations. There's three stalls. All three are occupied, right? Which totally changes the math. It's like in the I don't even know which one it is. One of the Hitchhiker's Guide ones where there's the ship that looks like an Italian bistro because the math that goes on
yes.
at an Italian bistro is, you know, beyond comprehension. It's sort of like that math that I'm doing. Okay. You could go to Jupiter. I hear the rattling of the toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, thank God. Although it's a complex thing because if you know that toilet is not imminent, somehow your nervous system is able to like hold it in, right? But the minute you know that you're about to sit down, the nervous system starts to relax, right? Starts to divert resources to other things like breathing and heart
breathing.
And you know. And so you hear that toilet paper rattle and you go, "Oh, thank God, he's almost done." And then your nervous system is like, oh, we're almost going to sit down. We'll divert resources to other, like, blood flow and, resisting disease and stuff like that. And then now, oh, shit, I hope he's done. And then I hope he's not just, I hope he's not blowing his nose or something, right? And then you hear the belt buckle rattle. And you're like, I am seconds away from having my very own stall, right? And he gets up and you hear the belt buckle rattle, flushes the toilet, you hear the latch, you know, the latch is like the last thing you got to hear before you get to run in there. And he walks out and he's a big, hairy, fat, sweaty dude. I'm like, ugh, crap my pants or sit down on a warm stool. The big, fat, hairy, sweaty dude was just on.
Because you ain't even got time. You ain't even got the time to grab one of those tissue toilet seats, you know, if you're lucky enough to have one, you know.
Mm-mm.
I'm not even going to waste time with that.
I don't have time to build a little bird's nest. I don't have time to put the ass gasket on there. I ain't got time for any of it. I barely got time to pull my pants down. In fact, as I'm pulling my pants down, I might crap into the little hammock that's formed, you know, as I pull my pants down. I've done that before. I don't know if you've done that before. But I've been like, I made it. And I'm like, put it as I'm sitting down. Like, I'm like halfway. I'm like pulling my pants down. As I'm like halfway down, it's starting to come out. And I'm like, it's okay. It's still going to go in the toilet. And it like bloop. Right down into my underwear.
And then you do the real quick where you like instantly pull your pants down, but you leave the underwear hanging there so there's no, you know, connection. And you, because I can throw these things away.
It's okay. It's okay. I can throw these away. There's holes in them anyway.
you're like the dude in the back seat of the car in like Reservoir Dogs. You're like, I can salvage this. Well, your stomach, your guts are hanging out from a bullet wound. You're like, you're going to make it.
You're gonna make. Did I ever tell you, or have I spoken on the show about the absolute worst bout of this I ever had of the having to take crap?
Why don't we?
When I was driving.
I don't think so, but why don't we tell them about it after the break?
That sounds good. So we'll take a little break. When we come back, a little bit more potty humor. Or rather, lack of potty humor.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Which one of your uncles was it you were talking about the other day about, like, yeah, it was funny because I told my mom, I'm like, because we were talking about that story, and I said, yeah, me and Steve were joking about it, and he said something about the way one of his uncles got around, he's probably related to everybody in Springfield Township. She went, well, that would have been Hillary. I'm like, what? Well, okay then.
Ah! I just, yep. Well, I hope she didn't like look off into the distance and go, yeah.
Oh no. She's a bit of a no. Just like that one of them.
It's like bizarre that. Because he
anyway.
Like he's my dad's last living brother. My dad also has a sister who lives in Birmingham, Alabama, but Neil now lives in like Arkansas or Mississippi or some damn where.
Mm-hmm.
And he found religion. And he never would, I mean, he would talk about Jesus and God like the rest of us from the South, but he was never, you knew, I mean, everybody knew. Right? Including your mom, apparently. But he got religion, and I was like, talking to my dad about it, and I was like, it's a woman, right? He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah. The woman told him that, you know, unless he came to her church, she wasn't going to give him any. So I was like, oh, well, there you go.
What a top.
Okay, so real quick, because I really, welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I think I've told this story before on the show, but since we have a lot of new listeners, I'll go ahead and tell it again real quick, and then we'll get to some headlines.
Yeah, we haven't done headlines in a while, so.
I'll tell this story. I'll give a real quick naltrexone update, and then we'll do headlines. So, real quick. I was working in Ohio, like eastern Ohio, like 5-hour drive from Indianapolis, and had to be there by 8:30 a.m. So had to leave at 3:30 in the damn morning from here, which I don't know if you knew this, but that's early. There are people who were still awake last night who are up at 3:30, right? So you're driving on the road with some drunks driving home as well as insane people going to work. So invariably,
Three thirty is good practice for hell.
Yeah. If you gotta leave at 3:30, you gotta wake up at least like 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't give a damn how long you sit on the toilet at 3:15 after you woke up and brushed your teeth. I don't give a damn how long you sit on the toilet. You're not going to take care of your morning constitution.
Mm-mm.
So at some point in that car, you're going to need a spot like to stop and take care of your morning thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a fear. I was always afraid, like, what if, because there are some stretches in Ohio where there ain't nothing. So I always would hope it would happen about when I would arrive to Dayton, Ohio, which is about an hour and a half, or maybe Columbus, which is about 3 hours. But it happened between Dayton and Columbus where there ain't nothing, right? I mean, when I say there ain't nothing, I don't mean nothing. I mean, there's gas stations and stuff, right? But no major metropolises, like the major metropolis of Dayton and Columbus, Ohio. So, all right. Nature calls. I'm driving. I'm like, oh, here we go. Start looking for, all right, exit in 2 miles. Awesome. It's like, oh, man, this one's happening kind of fast. Good thing there's an exit coming up. Get off of the exit. Drive over to the gas station. It's closed. Of course, the pumps are open because they got the credit card thing. I could get gas. Gas station's closed, right? So I'm like, damn it. Get back on the highway. I'm like, there's got to be another one close, right? This one will crawl back up because they always do. At some, you know, at some point the crisis subsides and you got a few more minutes, right? So I'm like, ah, look, another exit. So I get off on the next one. Like,
it's the eye of the hurricane.
Yeah, it's the eye of the hurricane. So I get off, and this one's closed too. But there's also a McDonald's. I'm like, ah, McDonald's. McDonald's is closed, but they open in like 10 minutes. All right, so what do I do? I don't know if I have 10 minutes. Oh, I don't have 10 minutes. I got about 3 max, right? But there's nowhere here. Maybe I can get to the next exit, right? So I get back on the highway. I'm screaming down the highway thinking I can make it to the next exit. I get to the next exit. I make it in like 2 minutes. I get off. Everything's closed at that exit too. I'm like, fuck. By the time I get back to the McDonald's, they'll be open. So I turn around. I do that thing they teach us in driver's ed where you get off, you cross over the highway, you get back on the highway. Now I'm driving back west toward home, trying to get back to this McDonald's, which I figure is going to open and, you know, in a few minutes, and I can run in there. And I'm like, and then it hit me. I'm like, I got less than 30 seconds. All right. And my brain supercomputer could land us on Mars, right? Starts doing all the calculations. And there are 2 options. None of those 2 options involve me making it to that McDonald's, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm either crap it in my pants in this car, or I got to pull over and do something. So I pull over. I run down into the ditch. Of course, I put my flashers on because I'm safe, right? Even though it's a crisis, I still want to be safe. So put my flashers on.
Oh, yeah, because you want to draw attention to yourself.
Yeah, right? So I run down into the ditch and, you know, pull my pants down, and I just unload in the ditch. And I hadn't brought anything to wipe with, so I'm, like, grabbing, like, grass, leaves. Like, some hobo had left a rubber, so I'm using that. And all I could think about was...
Well, at least the hobo was safe.
So I got done, and I was like, well, that takes care of that. And then I thought, man, some chain gang, like some prison cleanup crew is going to be coming through here picking up garbage. They'll be like, what the? So, but anyway, I got back in my car, turned around, back on my merry way, and didn't crap my pants.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
All right. So, as we talked last week, I got the prescription from the psychiatrist. I talked to my regular doctor, and he hadn't heard of it, and he said he was going to do more research, but he said he prescribes naltrexone for other stuff, but at much lower doses, so he wasn't sure about the dosage. But he's going to a conference, like a neurological conference, in a couple of weeks, and he's going to ask around about it and let me know what he finds out. So, but he said he's like, there's really no side effects. This is a drug that's been around for decades, and there's like very few side, and the side effects are manageable. And so he said he doesn't see an issue. The only thing that concerns him is the dosage. So I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to try it. So before I went to the dad's club thing where there's plenty of booze, I went ahead and I took one of the pills. And, you know, if anybody who's thinking about like, oh, maybe it's a solution for me, like nothing I'm going to tell you in the next few weeks will be all that useful other than what to expect if you do it. You know, like don't take any of this as evidence that it works or doesn't work or this is what it's like. Just realize that
right,
these are some of the things you'll experience.
It's just right, your personal right, experience.
Right. So I had my first drink, and I did not have the normal like endorphin rush that normally happens when I have my first drink. And that was interesting. It was kind of weird. Cause I was like, well, that's weird. Does that mean I'm not going to get drunk? And as we said last week, the effects are still the same. You know, you just don't have the thing that washes over you. And as the evening went on, I found myself not really... It was weird because I've never experienced this other than when I'm sick, right? I've been sick before and been like, nah, I don't really want another drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been completely healthy, like not sick, and just go, yeah, that doesn't seem good to me. Somebody gave me, like a brandy snifter of, I think it was Cointreau or something. Some weird thing that you don't normally have on its own. It's usually a mixer. It just wasn't great. It had a bite to it, and it was kind of herbal. It was like sort of licorice-y, and I was like, I don't really like licorice. I poured it out. I was like, that was weird. And of course, I was driving that night, and I was completely sober when I drove home. I get home and did what I normally do when I go to an event. I grabbed a beer and thought, I'm going to unwind on the deck with a beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I go out on the deck. Halfway through the beer, I'm you know, listening to the crickets, enjoying the night air. It's a little bit crisp. And the beer stopped tasting good. So I was like, well, I guess we're done here. So I went in the house, poured the beer out, went to bed. Woke up the next morning, felt great. But the next day, I was super tired. Now, I only got... I did go to bed at like 2 a.m., got up at 7:30. So I didn't get a ton of sleep. I was super tired all day long. Mm-hmm. And just, I chalked that up to not getting much sleep. But then Monday, so like Sunday night, I didn't drink at all because my friend Mark, who's a raging alcoholic, he's a guy that can't drink, can't touch a drop.
Yes.
He was in town because he had to go to a funeral or something. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't drink at all Sunday night. And Monday, I thought, oh, I'm going to feel better than I've felt in years. But I was super tired on Monday, even though I got plenty of sleep Sunday night, even though I hadn't had a drop to drink. So that was kind of interesting. And then Monday night, I take the pill, I get home, I have a drink. I was talking to my wife. I was like, you know, I don't have that thing. And I was trying to explain to her, like, what it's like. And I was like, okay, you know, imagine when you're riding your bike and you get that endorphin rush. Yeah, I get it. I was like, now imagine not having that. She's like, well, that'd be weird. I'm like, yeah, it is kind of weird. And then, so that was Monday night. And then Tuesday night, I did it again, took the pill, I get home, I have the drink, and I get the rush. Mm. I was like, oh, shit. Hmm. So I don't know if I didn't take it soon enough. I don't know what happened.
Well,
but it's an interesting thing. So my plan now is to, like, sort of combine a couple of things. One is the pill, so I'll keep taking the pill before I drink, mm-hmm. and a goal, a clear goal, which I've talked about before, which is not drinking at home during the week. Wednesday nights are an exception, but other nights that aren't Wednesday nights that are during the week, you know, but I'm not going to start that right away. I'm going to do it the same way I quit smoking, which is the taper method. It's like next week I'll say, I'm not going to drink at home during the week before 8 o'clock. And then the next week I'll say, I'm not going to drink at home during the week until the kids go to bed. And, you know, I'll do that, and so next thing you know, it'll be, you know, I'll taper it off kind of like I did with smoking.
I said, Dad, why are we going to bed at 5 o'clock?
Shut up and go to bed.
Go to bed. Dad needs a drink. So, yeah, that's the update. We'll see how it goes, and there you have it. Who's ready for some headlines?
I think we can squeeze one or two in.
Google Pixel Buds will change the world. So what are Google Pixel Buds? Well, I there's a little sub-headline, so it's not quite cheating, but there's a little sub-headline that indicated to me that these Google Pixel... The Google Pixel is the Google phone. I knew that already. Because Andy Wright, A. William Wright, got one, and he seems pretty happy with it. Mm-hmm. But these Buds are doing it's the I can predict the future, and it's a blessing and a curse. This is exactly what I thought would happen, and I know Google knew this would happen. What they're starting to try is instant translation. So these buds that you put in your ear will listen for the language and then translate it into a language you can understand. And it reminded me that one of the first websites that you could go to and type in something in a language and hit translate, and it would translate it to some other language. Mm-hmm. One of the first websites that would do that was babblefish.com.
Mm-hmm. I used it quite
Google
a bit.
Bought them, and it was google.com/babblefish. And so Google has known that they were going to do this for years.
Uh-huh.
Because as longtime listeners, followers of the show, and fans of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy will know, the babblefish in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a fish that you put in your ear, and it instantly translates any language into a language you can understand.
Right.
So now Google I'm sure it sucks. I'm sure it's horrible. It doesn't work well at all.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're doing it tells me this is where we're headed.
Yeah. It'll be great, honestly. And you'll probably have to give it a couple more years before it's like really, you know, super accurate and can figure out, like, you know, because we don't just talk in the Queen's English. We have American English, and then we have English, American English in different areas. Well, it's, and then there's just flat out slang. Well, all the other countries have that too. So, you know, you figure 5-8 yeah. years down the line, they'll have that figured out as well. Although I think it's funny though, like when Michael or his brother in Sweden will make a post and they'll put it in Swedish, I'll hit the translate button on it.
Yeah.
And then I'll like copy and paste what it translates into, and sometimes it's hysterical what it translates into.
Yeah. Well, and with artificial intelligence, it gets better and better, faster and faster.
Yeah.
And so if you, like right now, you can, they have the speech recognition software where you can speak into mm-hmm. Google Translate, and then it will translate it for you and speak it back to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, it takes a little time. There's a little latency because it takes some processing time. It takes some bandwidth and has to send it to the server. Server has to do the translation, then it sends it back. So there's a little time lag in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it recognizes dialects. It recognizes American English. It recognizes mm-hmm. whatever. It recognizes all of it. Like, they're figuring out those problems. The problem that I think they're going to have is connectivity to their servers and speed. Like, but they may be saying, well, computers are getting so powerful, we may not need our servers to do it. Maybe we'll just have the earbuds do it. And then it's instant, you know? So that's crazy. All right, so we're all going to run out and get our Google Pixel Buds. And that way we can all understand each other instantaneously. Thanks for listening this week. Please like, share, go rate us on iTunes. Check us out at don'tpanicradioshow.com. And don't forget, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson, and nothing you just heard was true. We'll be right back.
Oh, bullshit.